Greetings, this is James Gillen with BBS Radio, and I'm your host. And we've got our As You Wish guest coming up second hour. We've got some really good information coming in, so I think you're going to love it. We're going to be talking about on the second hour all kinds of ley lines and sacred spaces and things of that nature. But in the first hour, I thought we'd just cover a few things going on and bring on some of the guests here at the East Eddy Ranch that have had some phenomenal experiences. And let them give it to you out of their words. I was just talking earlier about, you know, it's not, to me, it's not really my job to sell the ranch or try to get people to awaken and things like that. It's all about personal experience. And so it's never been my job to prove anything, but just to create space for people to have their own experiences. And so that's why we like bringing on different guests here that have come to the ranch and had their own experiences. There's a lot of things going on. We just got through a pretty heavy-duty rainstorm here at East Eddy, and it's cleared up, and the skies are now clear. The mountain's out. I'm looking at it right now, and just a beautiful sight, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of UFO activity here tonight, you know, just because of the clear skies and the energy that's coming in is just phenomenal. Most of the contacts here, although you see the ships and interact with the ships and things, are happening on more of a telepathic level and a spiritual level. So these beings are extremely spiritually and technologically advanced. So although they do appear, they show us their ships and things like that. It's not like, you know, walking on the ship and shaking their hand and sitting down with a cup of coffee, which can happen and probably will happen in the near future. But right now, just for safety's sake, for their safety and our safety and to try to avoid any aggressive factions, they prefer to do it this way. One of the things I wanted to bring up too is we had probably one of the massive chemtrail sprays I've ever seen. It's like fleets of ships were here spraying the chemtrails, and then the rains came and all the streets sudsed up with this weird white milky substance. And a lot of people got sick. You know, a lot of people had a lot of upper respiratory problems, headaches, down all the way down into intestinal problems and muscle and joint pain. So whatever they're spraying up there, it's not good. It's not in our highest and best good. And my one thing I've said all the time, you know, if you want to know it's over and the cabal's game is over, it's when you see the chemtrails stop. Because as long as you see those chemtrails up there, it's business as usual. And as long as you see these top members of the elite walking around, free, smiling, laughing, you know, basically it's still business as usual. So, don't be led into a false sense of security or to think that everything's being done for you. It's up to us. It's up to all the people to rise up and just not participate anymore, you know, in these games and really align with unity consciousness and start, you know, being kind to each other and the planet. That is the name of the game, and that's what we're here to do is to, you know, try to walk a path of impeccable integrity in service to the Creator within all creation. But that being said, I want to bring on our first guest, and it's one of the guests that's here at the ranch. I'm not exactly sure who's coming on first, but we'll see if we can connect in to the ranch phone and bring our first guest on. Hello, anybody home?
Good evening.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure how do you say your name again?
It's Maritza.
Maritza.
Yes.
And Maritza, you actually have a real strong Peruvian connection, and I guess your mother was a curandera. Hopefully I'm saying that right.
My mother is currently a curandera. She's getting ready to fly out next week back to Peru, and she studies with the shamans there.
Yeah, too bad she's not here.
You know? Oh, she's very much here in spirit, that's for sure. I'm her apprentice, so
okay.
Part of her is here with me as well.
Yeah, I would love to get your take on what you've been experiencing here and some of the energies and even some of your experiences, you know, in Peru as far as, you know, what you see as where the earth is going and you know, things we need to pay attention to.
Well, I think now now is a time of awakening, and it's time that everybody else opens their eyes as well. I remember as a child, I was stricken with something, and I almost passed away. And at that moment, something or someone greater than myself reached out, and ever since then, I would like to say that I've been enlightened, and something inside me has awoken, you know, and I've been sharing my experiences with them, my family. I'm very sensitive to the earth around me, and she's not very happy these days. She's been telling us in more ways than one, and reaching out to even the people that don't believe. And the signs are pretty clear, and they're getting louder and louder. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time to listen.
Yeah, I've heard an old saying that, you know, Mother Earth is slow to act, but thorough when she does act. So
she's very thorough.
So it's time to, you know, catch her in the slow part, you know, and change our ways before the thorough part comes, you know.
Absolutely. Now, we traveled up here on Thursday, and I got to tell you, James, we've been waiting a long time for this journey here in particular, besides the journeys that we've taken to Machu Picchu and Cusco and other parts of the world. I was just in Mexico a month ago, too, and I did a spiritual retreat there as well. And but the retreat we did here was very special because we invited everything to come near us with open minds and open hearts. And the second that we did that, we felt what we felt in other places of spiritual healing and awakening. And the signs are so apparent, and that my wish is for everybody else to feel it and see it, you know, and experience it, and hopefully something inside them will be awoken.
I'm kind of laughing because I saw with your husband there, he had quite, I think your wish was fulfilled on that one.
Oh, it's most definitely fulfilled. You know, he's waited so long to be here. And the first night that he asked for them to come, they did. They were all around him, and he's been so happy. I mean, just, I haven't seen him this happy in a while. You know, Mother Nature is telling him a lot of things as well, and he's saddened by it. But, you know, when we came here, and this is what we wanted to see, this is what we wanted to feel. We've had a few entities following us around, and they are, without a doubt, life-changing. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy we're here on behalf of my family. My daughter started speaking the other night, and she was speaking as if she were someone else, and she invited these beautiful beings and lights around her, and it was just incredible, an incredible feeling. Like I say, I wish it for everyone else around who's listening, who will listen.
Mother, you know, I saw some of the photos. Yeah, some of the photos you took where she had these, like, bead of little light beings around her, and, you know, just the tunnels of light and the veils of light that were in the photographs were just amazing.
Yes, and we caught a few glimpses of maybe some faces or past faces, mm-hmm. And I feel some of our maybe ancestors are here as well.
Mm-hmm.
They've traveled far with us.
I was just doing a meditation up here earlier and getting some information from the Pleiadians, and they were talking about how they are stepping in, and that, you know, they are, that universal law will come forward, and that, you know, there is a master plan going on, and they said they will in a very short time have pretty much control of the different factions of the planet, and then they can get on with the healing process, and it's going to happen very quickly. But I know, too, is that we're not out of the woods yet, and I know we're going to probably experience, you know, some major events, you know, like some magnetic and actually physical pole shifts and things of that nature.
Well, we're certainly experiencing it, and more happenings around the world are definite signs of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they talk very much about this alignment coming up with galactic plane? And I know this latest crop circle talked about August 4th as a very pivotal date, and I know the Earth is in alignment with galactic plane right now, and the sun comes into alignment with it on December 21st.
On December 21st, yes.
Yeah, and so that's in alignment with the Mayan calendar. So it's, mm-hmm. It's undeniable that we are being just bombarded with gamma rays and cosmic rays, and the sun is going ballistic.
A lot of solar flares, right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's measurable now. It's not just prophecy. It's actually scientific fact, you know, that we are undergoing these major changes.
No, I completely agree. We've been keeping up with it on the internet when we get the solar flares and how high the counts are, and they're more and more repetitive. They seem to come in patterns from what we're gathering, and it's a definite sign. If somebody would be taking notes of this and noticing what we're noticing, it's more and more frequent, and they come in flurries and patterns.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, according to your teachings, what do you think the effects are of these of this huge influx of energy?
Well, I don't mean to sound that negative, but it's letting us know that Mother Nature is about to break down if we don't do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
She's breaking down around us, and she's calling for help. She needs help.
Yeah.
She needs us to take better care of the Earth. She needs us to take care of the atmosphere. It is breaking down. These solar flares and everything else that are coming in, they are natural signs, and she cannot speak any louder than what she is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sun's answering her call for help, it seems.
Absolutely.
And I think those who are responsible for a lot of this misuse of technology may just end up losing their technology.
They do. Yeah, my husband has a lot of information on that, and I know he'd like to share some of that with you, James, if you would permit him.
Oh, I would love to.
Okay.
You know, if you want to bring him on, or if you have more to say, you know, that's all. That's up to you.
I have one more final thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've been here, my awakening has been so much stronger than it has in the past years. I know if my mother's listening right now that she knows exactly what we're talking about. So we're just calling for everyone else to listen. Listen with your hearts, and your minds will open.
Mm-hmm.
And we can start healing ourselves and healing the Earth around us.
I think that is so important, is to listen with your hearts and maybe set your mind aside for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And because people are so stuck in their minds and programmed, you know, by social consciousness, it's time to just set that aside and get into your heart and start listening to what the Earth has to say. It's very important.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you for your time.
You.
I'm going to pass you on over to Daniel.
Great. Thanks so much for coming on the show and you know, offering these words of wisdom and your experiences here at the ranch.
Thank you very much.
Hi, James. This is Daniel.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'd love for you to tell the audience just about some of the things you've experienced while here and actually share some of the wisdom you've maybe some of the downloads you've been getting about some things we need to know about or changes we need to make in our own personal lives.
Sure. You know, I was not skeptical, but I figured that, you know, coming up to the ranch would be really good for myself and my family and my sister and my kid. And it was a great opportunity to just kind of get the family together to come up here and have some peaceful time. And that Thursday night specifically, it was just, it blew my socks off. It was just so magical and so incredible. It was just beyond my expectation. You know, literally with the orbs flying around that are just undeniable. The UFOs, we stopped counting at 8. falling stars all over the place, and then lightning going off all around us, and the whole area was just lighted up, and it was just so full of energy. It was, you know, I'm just so excited to talk about it. It was just absolutely incredible. I mean, I've just never seen or experienced anything like this. You know, and I used to live on the island of Maui and stare at the stars all the time, and yeah. I've never seen this. Never, ever have I ever seen this. Just, you know, just, I'm at a loss of words. Just magical. That's all I can say.
Great. I noticed that in little healing circle we did, you know, where we brought in the different groups, the different Star Nation groups to come in, you had a real strong connection with the Orion Council Light that came in. And I'd love for you to share with that, because it's I think it's important, because there are so many people being initiated right now. You know, it would probably help them understand, you know, the process that they're going through, and to get through that process.
Sure. Well, you know, I can give you a little bit of background here on myself before we go into that part of it. But I myself had twice died on the operating table for a back surgery that I had about 12 years ago, and actually had a chance to see my mother. So I kind of got a little enlightened, you might want to say. You know, I had a chance to talk to her for a few minutes, and since then, things have happened, you know, just very strange things, you know.
Yeah.
If I'm not happy or I'm not getting along with people, I'll walk by, literally light bulbs, you know, blow out. And, you know, you think that's all coincidence. And so, you know, when it happens a second time on the same day, you know, things start to be a little more than coincidence. And so, you know, just for the people out there who are listening, you know, you just really have to get yourself grounded and, you know, just get focused on yourself and really push all that negativity away, because it's a real thing and it's coming in hard and strong, and I can feel it. And I know my friends that are non-believers, they feel it. And so it's very interesting, you know, to talk about these things. And then last night when we were in the circle, you know, honestly, I didn't have a huge expectation. You know, I just wanted to sit there and focus, and really started spinning real heavily. My feet started tingling. You know, there was some laughter going on earlier, and it was just, I don't know, it was just a loss for words. I felt something come through me, and I almost lost myself for a little while, and then had to really get regrounded again. It was just, it was incredible. You know, even right now I'm having a hard time talking about it, because I'm still filtering through the experience.
Yeah, we had we just had a wonderful meeting with Michael Tellinger here this morning, and he just left the ranch, and boy, that was amazing. You know, some huge energy came in, and I know people that have missions or they have work here are now, the help is coming. You know, at one time we felt all alone, like, what is going on here? You know, I don't belong here on this planet. People are crazy, you know, and you know, people questioning, you know, why am I here and where's the backup? And
so
what's great now is the backup is actually making itself known, and people are having incredible initiations and openings and a lot of protection coming in as well.
Yeah, I mean, literally, there's just so much going on around the world right now. There's so many energies, you know, all over the place right now. And really, people, they really need to start getting grounded, and they really need to start pushing all the negativity out of themselves, because with everything that's going on, I mean, Mother Nature is saying, you know, wait a second, what are you doing? You know, there's stuff happening out in space. There's stuff happening inside of our bodies and souls. And, you know, it's just, it now is the time for people to start helping other people. And it really, truly is. And get grounded and get focused on what's most important in your life. And it's not always all about money. And it's not about, you know, it's really about taking care of those things that are most important in your life, your family, your wife, you know, your kids, your friends. You really have to reach out to those people, because clearly you only live once. And I think people are starting to experience this now, and more people that I know of that were never believers in this stuff have now started to question these things.
I agree. I've always told people, like, now is the time of self-reliance, and we need to make our own personal connection with spirit, and you know, figure out where our water's coming from, our food is coming from, you know, and start paying attention to the earth and what she's, where she's going. And it's just so important right now, because if you're dependent upon the system, you know, it's not sustainable. It's not going to hold up under these changes. It's going to have to go through a huge transformation, and it might be a pretty rocky road during that transformation. So it's time to prepare on every level.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's something coming, and it's big, and I think that people need to start preparing themselves, because there's something that's out there, you know, and I'm kind of on the fence on exactly what it's going to be. I've heard so many things and seen so many things and experienced so many things, you know, what it is exactly that's going to happen. I'm not sure if anybody can put their finger on it, but something very soon is going to happen, and people that don't believe in it do feel something. And, you know, and like I said, they really are starting to question these things. And there's going to be some sort of a transformation that's going to occur, and people better be prepared for it.
You know, I agree. I know there's a lot of people that are just physically preparing, you know, and they're kind of in fear and whatever. And then there's people that are just spiritually saying, hey, I live in the moment, and are not preparing for future moments, and saying, well, that is fear. I'm not going to deal with it. And it seems like there's the whole spectrum going on right now. And I love what Baba G said. It's time to lovingly and joyously prepare, you know, on every level, body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah.
So we can't deny any aspects of ourself, and especially our physical self, if we want to stay on the planet, because she is shifting. You know, she's going to the next level, and our physical experience, we have to take care of that to make this shift as well.
Sure, absolutely. I clearly see that. You know, and what's kind of interesting about all that is, you know, no one wants to talk about the government and things like that, but I got a funny feeling that they know these things are about to happen, you know, and they've just so withheld all this information from us because, you know, it has to do with control and all this, and it's going to be real interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I totally feel that, you know, the control factions and that energy is not sustainable here on the planet with unity consciousness coming in. And that ninth wave of unity consciousness moving through the planet right now, that's exponentially increasing, that the factions that are playing the separation game of greed and control and power over others, that faction will not be able to stay on the planet.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, everything is so geared towards, you know, the wealth system and the pushing and not treating people well. And not treating our planet well, that we're paying the price for it. And we really need to step back. I mean, people need to step back, really take a good look on what's going on here around the world, because it's there. I mean, the proof is there. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is happening around the world. And, you know, and we're going to pay the price for it. And so it's so important for people to get centered and really get back into their shoes and think about what is the right thing to do, rather than you know, all the horrible things that are going on around the world. And we see that, you know, all these horrible wars that are going on, some that are created by the people that are tired of what's happening. And then, of course, there's the horrible things that are going on that other people in power, you know, generate, which is a horrible thing. But, you know, there's a lot of countries out there now that are actually, you know, hordes of people saying, hey, wait a second, we're tired of this. We need change. And we see it. You know, it's happening around the world. But, you know, it needs to happen in a greater spectrum of things.
Yeah, I think it's definitely underway. The like you were saying, there's something really big. I think it's we're in it now, but it's going to become exponentially grander, and it's going to culminate in this grand finale. You know, as we shift into the next age, you know, we can't take the old program with us. It just no longer functions. So it's time for us to you know, align ourselves with, you know, this new world that's coming in, not the new world order or their program, but align ourselves.
People are so busy going me, 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 and they've just completely lost touch with everybody, you know, their friends, you know, people they don't even know. I mean, it's amazing. You walk down the street, people don't even say hi to each other anymore. They don't look at each other anymore.
Yeah.
And it just needs to stop.
Yeah, that me program. We've watched it happen here where people just go on these downward me spirals. And and they're trying so hard to hold on to the old world and the old materialistic ways and thinking that they just spin off, you know, and it's all right. I mean, that's where they need to go until that crashes. But, you know, it never is about me, you know, it's all about, you know, it's all about unity consciousness and cooperating and working together. And I've seen over and over again is that the people that are pointing, you know, the greatest fingers and yelling usually have three pointing back at them. You know,
yeah, so. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. The some of the shifts happening here, I know it looks like, I mean, the mountain is totally out now, and I'm looking back towards the west where these storms are coming in from, and it looks clear, so I think we're going to have a pretty incredible sky watch tonight. And I know you said you saw quite a few ships out there the other night.
We did.
Last night?
Yeah, we absolutely did. So that on Thursday night, we saw, you know, at literally at 8, I just stopped counting. I mean, it was just, it was so mind-blowing. And, you know, and you can see one or two maybe being a satellite, maybe three. Okay, so let's give it four that could be a satellite. Yeah. But come on. You know, we're talking 8, and I stopped counting after 8. You know, there's just like one over here, one over there, and I wasn't even counting those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, there's falling stars all over the place.
Yeah. Which,
you know, it happens, I guess, it's that time of the year. But then we start taking pictures, and we're getting clear, I mean, crystal clear pictures of orbs flying around. There's some heavy energy out here, and you can feel it. I mean, it's a loving, intense feeling. Even my daughter, who's 6 years old, we did a little circle. We all held our hands and, you know, we chanted and we said wonderful things and, you know, it was all about, you know, loving and peace and bring it to us. And then she just started going off on her own thing, talking to the orbs like they were there. I mean, like a person. I mean, you know, it was, I'm trying to put words on it. She just started having a conversation. And I've never seen her do this. We've never taught her to do this. And she just did. It was like it was a natural thing. It was just amazing. And then so, you know, we started taking pictures. And so one second we'd take a picture of her in the same place, and she would just be quiet. There would be nothing there. And then as soon as she would start talking or singing or something, all of a sudden there's orbs all over. And they're little orbs. And then when we did it, we got the big orbs. So these aren't camera effects. This is the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I got, well, my wife had her camera phone, I had my camera phone, I had a professional camera, had night vision goggles, and it was turning up in all of them. It was just, and I, you know, we take pictures all the time. This stuff just doesn't happen.
Yeah. I know that, did you have a chance to look through the infrared beam and the night vision at the same time?
I didn't have a chance to look at those. I brought my own equipment, and, you know, there was quite a few people out here, so I did not have a chance to look through those particular binoculars.
Yeah, we'll bring that out tonight, but you can actually see the orbs flying in real time and interacting with the people, and it's just amazing when you see that. It completely dispels the dust theory, you know, and you know, I had this staunch scientist here, and he was saying it's been proven orbs are dust, they're water particles. That's all they are. And I said, really? And I said, he goes, yeah. And I said, well, let me show you something. And so I put the night vision goggles, the third generation, on him. And then I lit up the field, you know, with this infrared spotlight. And all of a sudden he's going, oh, my God, you know, where's that coming from? He said, there's no clouds. You know, this isn't water. He goes, it just rained, so I don't think it's dust. And he was trying to figure it out. And I said, do you notice what's going on here? And he goes, what? And I said, do you notice the wind is coming from the west? And he said, yes. And I said, do you notice they're flying into it? You know, they're under their own propulsion. You notice them stopping and swirling around people. And then, you know, and it's very clear they're under intelligent guidance, and they're moving against the wind, and they're going down into the earth and coming back out again. You know, and after seeing all this, he kind of had a meltdown.
Right.
And And the next day he goes, that's just us. That he went back to his old program. He had this huge opening and awakening, and then the next day he just flipped back into his old ways again.
Yeah, so, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, what's happening is it's just undeniable. I mean, it's not, you know, and for the people that are listening out there, it's not a dust thing that flies across the camera. At least from what I saw with all my cameras, it's not a piece of dust. I mean, we were getting colors. I mean, these orbs were colorful. They were red. They were purple. They were white. You could see faces in them. I mean, shapes and, you know, it's not a dust particle flying across the lens of a camera. It's just not. I mean, I've got the video footage and the, you know, I've got five cameras here, and they're all showing this. I mean, it's just not. You know, I don't know how to tell people, you know, other than you have to come up, experience it for yourself, and it'll expel all your non-beliefs. I mean, it's in your face. Deal with it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've watched over and over, like almost everybody after they come up and see what's going on. Even the, you know, we've had triple PhD Boeing engineers and air traffic controllers and, you know, people that really know what they're looking at, and they've all said the same thing after coming here. They go, my God, this is real. This is happening. We can't explain this. These Lockheed Skunk Works guys were here, and this huge ship came up from behind the mountain, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger as it came to them, and it had 7 points of light on it.
Wow.
And then it stopped. I mean, they started really freaking out as it got closer and bigger, and it stopped and then went back the other way, and they just said, look, we can't explain this one. We have no explanation. And it actually went on coast to coast and talked about it. And then the next day, I thought it was interesting. The next day, they're going, you know, I don't think we should have done that. We might be in trouble for this.
Right.
He goes, they know we're here. And I go, well, who's they? You know, and they wouldn't tell me.
Right.
But,
yeah, I mean, it's undeniable. Like, I mean, you know, my wife, my son, and my cousin saw, you know, a pyramid shaped object light up and move across the mountain while we were here. You know, and I know for a fact that satellites travel in a straight line. They don't curve. They don't zigzag. And we clearly saw these things. I mean, you know, so that's why I was saying earlier, sure, okay, after I stop counting at 8, I'll give them 4. You know, whoever the believers are or non-believers, I'll give you 4 of those were probably satellites. But the ones that were curving and not flying in straight lines, they're clearly something there.
And also the response, you know, when they come and power up and they respond to the lasers and the consciousness. When people ask them, hey, you know, show us, light it up, power up, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, they just totally respond.
Right.
And power up. And, you know, I stopped counting one night at 150. There were so many. And I just said, you know, we do not have that kind of hardware up there, and I had J-Tracker and Heavens Above and trying to make sense out of it, and it says you know, there's going to be, you know, 1 to 3 at the most visible satellites overhead, you know, and then you look up, you see that many, you just go, my, you know, there is no way,
right?
You know, that even our secret stuff, you know, wouldn't fill that void,
without a doubt. Yeah. And, you know, you have the non-believers that or, you know, the people that are kind of somewhere on the fence, and they say, well, why don't the aliens just come land on the front lawn and, you know, and say, hi, we're here. Well, it's pretty clear. You know, I mean, you look at it this way. If we were to go somewhere else and see a primitive race that is clearly destroying themselves and their planet and their surroundings, and they're about to bring these horrible things into outer space, maybe we need to just watch them for a little while, you know, and maybe get in touch with a few people on the planet that are ready for this, but clearly they're not going to land on the White House lawn. It's not going to happen.
Well, I always tell people,
it's just, come on. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see these kinds of things, because it's just not going to happen. Clearly these people that are in these UFOs are so far advanced that they're thousands, millions of years ahead of us. There's no doubt about it. And they're clearly communicating on a different level. And if they've made it that far, they're not dropping bombs and, you know, pulling people off the planet, at least not the ones that I think they are. You know, they're going to reach out to certain people that are ready for this and have some form of communication. But it's not going to be anybody in the government because they're clearly not ready, and the government will manipulate it, and they know it.
Yeah, there's a criteria. I tell people, you know, you need to have an open mind, a loving heart, and pure intent. And, you know, a high level of integrity if they are going to connect with you. And obviously, you know, the White House has not met that criteria. And, you know, they don't want to, you know, basically what they would do is, you know, send up their best technology to shoot it down and steal the technology so they could, you know, have more power and control over people or use it in the war industry. So there's really no reason, you know, whatsoever for them to deal with that. They're not aggressive. They don't want to deal with the aggression. And they do want to connect with people that are rising to the occasion and that are you know, focusing on their own spiritual development.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%, without a doubt, because we have nothing to offer them. First of all, you know, what are they, they're going to land here and we're going to say, okay, here, let's give you a pot of gold. I mean, you know, there's nothing here that they want.
Yeah.
So clearly if they're coming here, there'd be only one reason why they're coming here, and they want to get in contact with people that are ready for it, and those people are ready to go to the next level in consciousness. Because maybe if everybody takes this a different view, maybe they're coming here because they might be preparing us for something that's about to happen. And, you know, and that's where we need to open our eyes. Is this what's happening? Because if it is, you know, those people that have been communicated to, we need to start listening to those people, because it's not going to be your friend down the street. It's going to be a select few people here and there on the planet that may have this communication. We need to listen to what they have to say.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know the I think it was kind of hilarious, some of the armchair investigators, you know, from a distance. And, you know, and not to bat, there's some really good people in MUFON, but in general, whenever MUFON hears about eSETI, they just cringe and freak out, you know, because they want everything to be nuts and bolts. And you know, scientists know that we have at least 11 more dimensions. And you look at all the life here on this dimension, this third dimension alone, and this third dimensional, you know, universe that we're looking at with, what, 200 billion suns out there in the Milky Way galaxy with planets revolving around them.
Right.
And with 500 billion galaxies that are 3D that we can see, to think that we're it and we're the only ones here is just, I just think it's an, it reaches the height of ignorance to.
It's kind of interesting that only now, recently, are you actually hearing scientists say, you know, about the fact that there's more than three dimensions, that there's 12 dimensions or 24 dimensions. And we're actually hearing this mainstream now. But, you know, maybe 3-4 years ago, that was like taboo. You don't talk about that. That's impossible. You know, but now all these, you know, little bits leaking out here and there, all these things that were, well, if you're talking about that, you know, you're crazy. And now all of a sudden these, you know, really huge scientists are saying, yeah, absolutely, there are other dimensions, and they go up to 12 dimensions or 24 dimensions, and, you know, there are alternate universes out there, and we just happen to be living in one of them. It's real. It's very interesting.
Yeah, there's worlds within worlds, you know, existing right alongside of us, but, you know, they're outside of our ability to see them, because we can just see a very small band in the visible light spectrum, but here at the ranch, the veils are so thin, it's so easy to contact these other higher dimensional beings. And because, you know, there is a history of that here, and the land was already a power spot or a sacred space, you might say. So it's very easy to come here and connect with our ancient star families and our ancient ancestors. And they are definitely returning. So
there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, and to add to some of the things that we saw last night when we were taking pictures. I mean, we have video or, you know, photographic evidence of entities sitting in chairs. You know, like 1 second you take a picture of the chair, I mean, and it instantly on the next photo, there's something there. And you know, it's not a person sitting there. It's like an energy, colorful wave, and it's not a movement of the camera because on either side of the chair, it's perfectly focused. But yet, at the chair, you can clearly see something there. You know, it's just, so there is, without a doubt, something here that has opened that all up, without a doubt.
I noticed that the gathering that we did in the conference building when we brought the energies in, and after we were through, your wife took a picture of the table, and it showed this column of energy or light, you know, like different waves of energy are like coming up from the table, going up, and you know, got some really nice orbs. I had that. Mm-hmm. I have this orb that follows me around right behind my head all the time.
Believe it. Yeah, it's funny that you said that, because when we were reviewing all the photos earlier, my wife pointed that out. She says, "Look where James is," and almost every third photo, there's an orb that is behind him, following him. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, it was the first time we saw that. Typically, they're just kind of here and there, or unless, you know, I actually have one where my sister called one and it was right in front of her. But it's just funny that you can actually see it following you.
Yeah,
it's like, wow.
If people really understood the nature of orbs, is as you move up the vibrational continuum, that we are multidimensional beings, you know, existing on a vibrational continuum. And we have bodies within bodies, you know, all the way back to the source. And one of the higher bodies actually is an orb.
Yeah.
And it's a light sphere. And it has 360-degree vision. It can go forward or backward in time. It can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally unlimited. And we all have that aspect within us. And I know these higher dimensional beings can actually project that consciousness or that light sphere out of themselves and go interact with people and interface with people and then go back up to the ship.
I mean, yeah, it's just amazing. Without a doubt, it's clearly rooted my feet on the ground since I've been here. And I was a 90% believer, but I can tell you right now, I'm 120% believer. I mean, it's blown my socks off, and it's just absolutely amazing. And I'm so appreciative of allowing us to come up here to the ranch. And it's like I tell everybody who's listening, it's a very magical experience, and you have to come here to experience it. It's just amazing.
Yeah, no, we can't, it's funny, as I was saying before, we deal a lot with these armchair investigators throwing out, you know, comments and accusations, things from afar, you know, and I always tell them, you know, Einstein did say condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
Yep.
And I asked them, have you ever been to the ranch? And they said, no. And I said, well, do you ever meditate? No. You know, well, do you ever sit out and watch the sky at night and maybe just set your intent, you know, to see a ship or to have an experience? And they go, no. And I go, well, you know, basically you're not, what you're telling me is that you want to remain in your present understanding, that you really don't want to know anything outside your box, and you want to remain skeptical and close-minded, and that's okay. You know, you're loved no matter what, but why limit yourself to that little box that you're playing in?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people really need to start opening their eyes and get away from the old ways. I mean, they have to. I mean, it's what's going to happen in the future, and people need to prepare themselves. But on that note, I have another guest here that would like to spend some time talking to you.
Great.
And I wanted to thank everybody out there listening. And like I said, a very, very magical experience that I've had, my family had. So it wasn't just me. It was myself, my wife, my two children, my sister, her son. And it's just incredible. And I'm very, very appreciative. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hello?
Hello. Welcome
Hi.
To the show.
Hi, this is Monica.
Oh, Monica. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. I think we've got time for one more guest, and we might have another one. I don't know, but we'll see. But, you know, I'd love to hear about your experiences here at the ranch and talk about, you know, some of the things that you felt or seen or experienced.
Yeah, sure. I arrived yesterday, and for me, I had been wanting to have an actual personal healing session with you, and it wasn't until after the healing that my dream that I had the most amazing dream last night, that it really sank in how profound it was. in my dream, I was in a room with people, and there were two women, and they were, like, sitting behind the desk, and we were kind of basically doing a healing exercise, and a man was standing in front of me, and we were told to look each other in the eyes and say, I am that I am, and place our hand over our heart and say, I am perfectly healed. So when we had our session, you had mentioned Mataji and Blaji, and we were watching your video, Contact Has Begun, where we're staying in the guest house, and that had an illustration of Blaji, and that's when it hit me. I was like, oh, my God, these are the two women that showed up in my dream last night. And then later, earlier this afternoon, everybody, I must say, that is here, all the guests are just so wonderful, so kind, so just open, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. It just feels, everything feels familiar. I don't know how else to describe it, but the people here, it feels like they just feel very familiar to me. But anyhow, as I was walking along the property lines, we came upon Marisa and then later her husband Daniel and his son and nephew. And when I was speaking with them, they were telling me about the walk that they went on. And his son, Joshua, as we were talking, were picking flowers. And as they were leaving, he handed me flowers. And it wasn't until I was sharing my dream with a woman here, Connie, I was telling her about it. And then when she left, I looked at my friend and I went, oh, my God, his son Joshua was the man in the dream that gave me those flowers. I mean, the synchronicities, it's you know, we meditated out in the field. For me, it's been more the sense and the feeling of what it feels like. It's just so calm and so peaceful and so loving, and just it just feels so good. I just words don't adequately describe how just good it really feels. And and I want to thank you for sharing some tools with me that I know taking back into, you know, the real world, so to speak, that will allow me to really hold that space of that love in my heart, so that I can kind of have a protective shield, if you will, against the big bad uglies, so to speak, that are out in the real world, because it can get kind of tough out there sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I'm just overwhelmed with just gratitude and just super happy. I've been, you know, picking flowers and watching the birds and the animals, and I honestly, I feel like a little girl and running through the fields and picking the flowers, and oh, it's just super.
Yeah, they have that old saying, you know, you must become like a child before you can enter the kingdom of heaven, and what they're saying is that you have to get back to that sense of awe. And that childlike innocence, you know, where you're not carrying all your baggage anymore, and then you can have that heavenly consciousness. You know, you can go back to your original consciousness, which is, you know, a loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting goddess or God. You know, that's the core of everybody's being. We just have to get back to it.
Yeah, and it really feels like everybody that's here is totally aware of that. It's like, my friend that I came with, she's had separate conversations where, you know, we've been on different parts of the ranch, and it's just been very much confirmed that, you know, everybody that's showing up here, at least while I'm here, we're all very well aware that of what it is that the energy that we carry with us, and what it is that we have to do, and how important it is for all of us to show up, you know, and come from that place of love and understanding, and to teach by example, you know, and by giving, by being, by holding that, or living, being a living example of what is, you know, what that is out in the real world. I can only just hope and pray that it will touch other people and be inspired to do the same, because it really can be a good thing. It really can be a good thing. And I know for me, sometimes when it gets to be kind of dark and dreary, you know, I have to kind of turn my head up to the sun and just give thanks and you know, walk carefully and make conscious choices about, you know, Daniel and Marisa were speaking about, you know, the environment, and it's so important. Everybody does make a difference. Everybody makes a difference, and I do believe that. And by making those conscious choices, especially about how you choose to consume, oh my goodness, you know, I mean, we could totally turn this around. So that's kind of my hope and my inspiration. And I think by everybody, you know, really looking into their hearts and healing themselves first, you know, then they can turn around and give that to others. So I think it's happening. It's not talked about, you know, of course not in mainstream media, but it's happening. People are showing up. People are working on themselves and taking responsibility. And yahoo! It's exciting to be in the same place where, you know, all of other people that are coming from all different backgrounds, all different parts of the state, and, you know, we're just all showing up in the same space and just, like, you know, we're doing it. And so I would say to other people who are maybe remote and aren't around that kind of energy so much, just, like, you know, maybe take a deep breath and just hold in your heart and know that there are other people that are, like, super just like they are and, you know, really living that truth. That would be, if I had to share that with the world, that's what it would be.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, you know, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We're coming up to the end of the hour, and that is such an important message, is that to heal ourselves first and then go out and work on the world. And no, you're not alone, and that there are people seen and unseen that are waiting to embrace you and, you know, walk along your side. But, you know, sometimes you've got to let go of the ones that aren't, you know, on the same page. And that's just part of a process that we're all going through.
Right. Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for having such a wonderful place to come to. It's awesome.
Great. Well, yeah, I can't wait to get out in the field and join everybody in the Skywatch, because I know it's going to be a busy night tonight.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, everybody out in the world, have a good evening. I'm signing off.
All right. Well, it looks like we're out of time, folks. It's so important for you to hear other people's experiences here at the ranch, you know, because there's one thing that I don't like doing. I don't like talking about myself. I don't like talking about the experiences here and the healings that happen and the openings. You know, but I do want people to know that they're not alone and that these things are real and they are happening. And there are places you can go to, you know, like he said, and other places around the world where they are open to these experiences and where there are people of like mind sharing, you know, in, you know, these multi-dimensional realities. So, but with that being said, the best thing I can say right now is it's really time to go within and make your own personal connection with Creator and realize the Creator is within all creation. The earth is part of creation, just as you are part of creation, and everything is connected. So start being kind to each other and be kind to the planet and stand up for what's right, because now is the time. We have to start standing up for the earth, and we have to start standing up for personal freedom, and we have to start standing up for, you know, walking a life of integrity, you know. So anyway, with that being said, I'm going to bring our next guest on. We've got Glenn Broughton, who is just amazing, and talking about sacred space and ley lines, and hopefully we can kick him on for the second hour. Anyway, have a great evening and watch the skies. Greetings, this is James Gill, and welcome to this second hour of As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got Glenn Broughton, who is English, has been living in Vermont for 11 years with his American wife, Cameron. Glenn has been researching and visiting ancient sacred sites for 20 years and is drawn to explore their energetic properties and how such places of power affect us today. Knowing intuitively that they have something to teach us, Glenn has been a tour guide for most of his time, leading groups, exploring The Mystery of Sacred Sites through Journeys with Soul at www.journeyswithsoul.com. He also lectures internationally on sacred sites, earth mysteries, and crop circles, and is the co-founder, co-organizer of Earth Spirit Conferences in the USA. And that's at www.earthspiritconferences.com. And we'll get those up on the website as well. So if you want to find out more about Glenn's work, you can contact him personally. But anyway, without further ado, I want to welcome Glenn to the show. Glenn, are you with us?
I'm here, James. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, welcome to As You Wish. You know, I was looking at your bio here, and I'm just going, oh, my God, almost everything in here, I'm totally interested. And I guess we can start off with the sacred sites and, you know, basically some of the sites that you've experienced and some of your findings at those sacred sites.
Sure. Well, it's interesting that you say some of the findings that I've experienced, because to me, that is really what excites me and what interests me about the sacred sites, that I do believe the ancient sacred sites have lessons to teach us. I find that they are always energetic places. And so our ancestors who built these sacred sites, for whom we should be very grateful for leaving such wonderful places, I think they were very much aware of the energy within the earth. You can see it in different ways. Some people see it as very much of a magical and mystical, and other people see it very scientifically as the electromagnetism generated within the earth. But however you see it, the ancient sacred sites were always built on these power spots on the land. And that makes me believe that that they were very much aware of where they were building their temples, their structures, their stone circles, whatever. So I think they were deliberately harnessing the energy within the land. Now, it's a different question to say what were they doing with it and why, and some of that is speculation, but I think that it's really key to know that they were aware of those energies. And this is, you know, something, unfortunately, that our modern society has gotten away from, we've forgotten. So this is one of the great lessons to me, that the sacred sites are bringing our focus back to being aware of the energy within the earth and in the world, which we can utilize. And of course, we're utilizing it right now, James, because now, you know, this is coming across the internet through computers, and that's computers are, as we know, are based on silicon chips, which is quartz. Mm-hmm. And so quartz is a great conductor of energy. So the earth it not only provides this dynamic pulse of energy which we need in order to be healthy, but it also provides the crystals and the means by which we can tap into and access that energy. So that's one of the exciting things. Another very important lesson that I think the ancient sacred sites have shown repeatedly is the need for us to come back into balance with the complementary polarities of energy within nature, within the world. Sometimes these are described as masculine, feminine, or yin yang, positive, negative. However we want to describe those, I think we're being shown that we need to have a balance within, each of us needs to have come into balance to be healthy, and our societies likewise need to be in balance. Over the last 2,000 years, we've become very focused on the masculine, logical, scientific sort of mindset, and we've forgotten our connection to our heart and to source energy, if you like, want of a better phrase, whether some people would call that God, some people would call it our own higher selves. Again, you know, whatever you want to call it, it's really important, I believe, that we reconnect with that source energy and learn to the fact that we there's so much more available to us in the universe if we open up our receptive abilities through our heart center and through our intuition, through our gut feeling, rather than just using our logical mind. So just those two very simple lessons would transform our world. I think they're two of the great gifts that our ancient forebears have bequeathed us, because those lessons are still encoded within the sacred sites.
Mm-hmm. Now, these sites that I know you're involved in dowsing, and so I'm curious to see if by going to these sites and, you know, whipping out the divining rods or however, whichever way you use, pendulum or whatever, have you found that these are like intersect points or sitting on like a major ley line, or some people call them Michael lines or dragon lines? They have different names for them.
Yes, absolutely. Every sacred site, to my knowledge, every sacred site in the world, sitting on an upwelling of energy, and many of these are connected by flows of energy. As you say, some people would call them earth energy currents, or some people call them ley lines. They're actually two different things, but we won't get into that splitting hairs this evening. But yes, so different sites are connected to one another through these currents of energy, which run all the way around the planet. Very much I see it as just like the energy meridians in our body. And in actual fact, acupuncturists use the energy meridians in our body to bring us back into health. I believe that our ancestors who built the ancient sacred sites, and they were different people, you know, I'm not saying that they were all built by the same people, but the people who built the various sacred sites around the world were doing earth acupuncture on a landscape level. Tom Graves wrote a book a few years ago called Needles of Stone, and I think that's a great description of what's actually happening when you, say, put up a stone circle like Stonehenge. Well, those stones are heavily crystalline, have a high crystalline content, and so you're tapping into you're putting this acupuncture needle into the earth. You're drawing the energy up, you're drawing cosmic energy down from the universe, and wonderful things happen when you do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always seen the ranch here that we have is like a vortex, and it definitely has some huge lines coming through here, ley lines, and we actually built a pyramid on top of one of them, and
yes,
put some crystals and some geometric structures in the top of it, and boy, that thing, just when you light that up and you get a group in there, it's amazing what happens. And we found some other points on the land, and they all have different energies, and actually marked them out, and people who are sensitive, you don't even have to say anything to them. You just say, okay, go sit on that mound right there, or go sit in that circle that's been marked out, or we have a little Tibetan prayer circle out in one area, and the energies are different in every place. It's amazing, and they're really amped up. And I've always referred to this place as kind of like an acupuncture point for the Earth's grid system, where we do a lot of consciousness and energy work here, and earth healing work and things of that nature.
Yes. Yeah, it sounds fabulous. I agree with your analysis. That's, I think, exactly what's happening. And we can, you know, so far I've talked about our ancestors who built the ancient sacred sites, but you've made the point very, very well that we can still do this today. Mm-hmm. We can still tap into the energy. We can still manipulate it. We can still work with it. So it's a fantastic gift if we simply remember how to work with these energies. Mm-hmm. One of the first things clues I ever got was I had some friends coming round for a cookout many years ago, and I thought, oh, it'd be great to build a fire, and I'd got some stones, so I moved these stones into a circle. I thought we can all sit around this fire. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I'd done that, whoa, it sort of took me by surprise that I could feel that I'd suddenly created a powerful place simply by moving some rocks into position in my garden. Mm-hmm. In actual fact, I didn't leave them there for that cookout, because it was just going to be a social event, but I did move them back later and then started working with the energies consciously that up to that point I'd been unaware that they even existed. And so we can all do this in our own backyards.
Mm-hmm. I know the Native Americans, they have, to a lot of their entrances, they have these stone guardians. They always have a big stone sitting there, and those are the stone people or the guardians, you know, to watch over entrances to certain areas.
Yes, yes. I think Aboriginal people all around the world are very much more tuned into these energies, and as you say, guardians, than we are. But they show us that, hey, we can. All we've got to do is change our mindset. And one very interesting thing that I think is very exciting at the moment is that people are starting to do this in very practical ways. For example, to improve agricultural yields. There's some great experiments taking place around the world. For example, Australia is one place where quite a number of farmers are sinking just plastic drain pipes partway into the ground, and then they're standing up to 2-3 meters high, maybe as much as 8 feet above the ground, and they're filling them with paramagnetic rock, and then they find in that this is focusing the energies within the earth and spreading it out across the field or across the garden, and that they're getting increased growth in their crops and increased yields when the crops come to harvest. Now, you know, this is great.
Yeah, I'm wondering what size pipe are they using?
It looks like it's about between 4 and 6 inches. It's mm-hmm. not huge. The idea originally came from the round towers in Ireland, and the round towers, which are believed to be at least 900 years old. It's the conventional view is that these round towers were bell towers, but this seems actually very unlikely, because there's no evidence of any bells ever having been hung in them. They were built by churches, but never attached to the church. They were actually built at monastic communities, and they were built in the gardens. And so the gardens were laid out around these huge towers of stone, some of which were I think up to 150 feet tall, with a diameter at the base of maybe sort of 12, 15 feet. And it appears that they were doing the same thing. It was paramagnetic rock, and they were radiating, drawing down cosmic energy, drawing up the earth energy and spreading it into the surrounding land, which made it possible for the crops to grow more successfully. There's a great book I'd like to recommend to people called Seed of Knowledge, Stone of Plenty, mm-hmm. by John Burke, and it's a fabulous book. He's done research into this, and he describes quite a few of the results. And he found that he got positive results by exposing seeds at various places: Avestone Circle in England, the Great Pyramid at Giza, Cahokia Mounds in the U.S., and all places around the world, and found that if he exposed these seeds at key locations, just at certain times of day, he exposed them for maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, just after dawn, when he said that the natural ion, atmospheric ion count spiked, it went really high. And if he then grew on those seeds in comparison to control samples, he got these great results.
So, yeah, that's,
you know,
yeah.
At the moment, you know, we're polluting the planet. People are really being with all the chemical fertilizers and insecticides, and we can avoid all of that pollution and the harm it creates to the planet and to ourselves if we simply listen to nature.
I was thinking about that. So the I guess the paramagnetic rock, would that be like basalt or lava rock or
they would work.
What other rocks would work in that case?
I'm not a geologist. I couldn't tell you the which particular rocks, but if people Google paramagnetic rocks, mm-hmm. then they could find ones close to them that would be most useful.
Because we do here in our gardens, we've actually made all these circle gardens here, small circle gardens, and we lined each one of them with rocks, and actually wooden rocks together, and it's kind of an experiment, and we've just been doing it off of intuition. And we have this mound. It has a real sacred space, and a lot of the kahunas and the elders, Native American elders, love this, the energy up there on this one mound. And so we actually put rocks all the way around the mound and created little step gardens and a little path up to the top of the mound where people can sit. And everything we put into that garden just thrives. It just grows like crazy, triple, you know, what some of the other gardens are doing.
Yes, I'm really pleased to hear that. And you put your finger on a very important point. You said you just place the rocks intuitively. And I think that's really important, that if we listen to our intuition, we know what needs to be done. We don't know with our logical mind, mm-hmm. but if we can switch off our logical mind and tune into our intuition, that's when we really start to be the powerful beings that we truly are, and we tap into all this knowledge and wisdom that's out there that we didn't even know existed. The pipes I mentioned in Australia with the paramagnetic rock, normally the farmers also put a note, a handwritten note inside, saying what they want. They want the land to be fertile. They want the crops to have an increased yield. So their intent is part of the important process. They put their intent inside in the form of a note, and that radiates out with the energy. I find the people doing experiments like this now really exciting, because we're finding and even, you know, conventional science is telling us surprising things from quantum physics. We're just here being told things like, if we observe an experiment, the results differ to if we didn't observe it. Now, so that means that we are an important element in the whole process, and our intention is really crucial.
You know, a lot of people will just say, you know, and I believe partially with just the intention of growing the food, if you put your intention on that garden, it's going to take off. But to me, I think there's another aspect of it. It's not just the intention. It's actually getting the inner guidance as to what to do and acting on it along with the intention is what really works. And it seems there's always that missing element along times right now where, you know, after The Secret and all these other things, you know, they seem to miss the action part or the doing part or you know, making the moves necessary to actually create that manifestation.
Yes. I think you're right. I think you're right. We do need to definitely take action, and we do need this part about tuning in to our source, as I would call it, through our intuition is really key and really crucial. And I think there are spirit beings. There are some people would call them spirit guardians of places, the spirit of the place. Other people would call them divas. Normally when I go to a sacred site, for example, the first thing I do when I arrive at a sacred site is to say hello and to acknowledge the beings that are there. I don't see them, but I sense them. I know they're there. Yeah. And it'd be very rude to turn up at someone's house and not even knock or introduce yourself. Just walk in a stranger's house and start making yourself at home. Let's not do that when we visit sacred sites. Let's go and acknowledge the guardians, the spirit guardians that are there. I think it was Einstein once said, if you suspend disbelief for a moment and act as if magic happens, then magic truly does happen. And that's what we need to do in this case. We need to suspend our disbelief that, oh, there's no such thing as spirit beings or guardians or whatever, but just go along and acknowledge it and start talking with them. And it will be surprising to many people what happens, that communication starts. And we suddenly become much more.
Yeah, I'm curious if you've you've probably gotten involved in the orb photographs and everything else and these power spots. I know here that we've been watching these orbs actually flying along these ley lines and just like a highway here. It's amazing. We have an infrared spotlight that we turn on, and then we have the third generation night vision goggles. And turn those on, and you go, oh my God, there's like an orb highway here.
Oh.
And there's two intersects where they usually fly on, but we have this field of dreams where all this crazy stuff happens. You know, ascended masters are appearing here. We've got incredible photographs of actually Mary appearing here and Kuan Yin and other beings. And, you know, we're having phenomenal ET activity here, the higher ones, the more benevolent ones. But, I've noticed that they actually will follow these ley lines in like a little highway.
Yes, right. We do see a lot of orb activity in the area. Well, in the area of England where crop circles occur around Avebury, which is the area that we're now living in, Wiltshire. The area that includes Stonehenge, it includes Avebury, the largest stone circle in the world. The whole landscape was, it was the energetic, well, I believe it is still the energetic center of England, and it certainly was in Neolithic times when the stone circles were built. Fantastic number of sites were put up, and what we're seeing is that... we're seeing a lot of orb activity. Every summer we as you mentioned, we lead tours through Journeys with Soul, tours visiting sacred sites, tours visiting the crop circles. And every year, people are capturing these orbs on their cameras. Mm-hmm. Some people see them with their naked eye. A couple of years ago, someone was taking video, and we saw on the screen of the camera two orbs. There was a field with a crop circle in it, and also right next to the important sacred sites, West Kennet, Long Barrow, Silbury Hill, just by a Bluestone Circle. And these two orbs were playing around in the top of the field up by the crop circle. And then as we sort of focused our attention on the screen, they sort of zoomed down the field towards us and started dancing round in the field just in front of us. Mm-hmm. And then after a minute or two, they sort of zoomed back up the field again. I think there's a lot of orb activity on the energy pathways and at the sacred sites.
Mm-hmm. The going into the crop circles, I know there's a lot of different messages within the circles. First off, I was curious what your conclusions are as to who's making the circles, and then we can probably go into why they're making the crop circles.
Yeah. Okay, my answer to who is making the circles is, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And most of the crop circle researchers, in fact, really all the crop circle researchers I know, say the same thing.
Yeah.
Because we don't know, and I think part of the lesson of crop circles is to get us to ask questions. Mm-hmm. It really, the crop circles raise more questions than they answer, and that's really healthy. We might go into a crop circle with our tour group, and normally we have people from all around the world, and we can walk into a crop circle in a field in the English countryside and meet other people from all around the world and get involved in conversations and discussions about life, the universe, everything, spirituality. Mm-hmm. What a great phenomenon this is, that I know nothing else that actually gets people to do this in this way, just standing in the countryside. To get back to your original question, I don't know who is making them, but what I do know is that we are able to communicate with them. The circle makers are beings or consciousness that can, if you like, read our minds, because every year we've been doing this since 1996 now. Every year we will open up a communication. We'll put out an invitation to the circle makers to co-create a crop formation with us that has something to teach us. And the next day, we always get a crop circle that has such elements that we are convinced that it was in response to our particular meditation. Mm-hmm. Now that's really pretty profound, because it means either that whoever the circle makers are, they are able to read our minds, or that we are far more powerful and we can send mental sort of communication to these beings. That's really exciting stuff, I think.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I had a theory a long time ago when I first saw the crop circles, and somebody asked me who was doing them. And so I went into meditation, and I just started seeing pictures and the beings and these ultra-dimensional beings involved in it. And they actually showed me how they did it, and they sent a probe down, like it's a little light sphere, and within that probe, the crop circle was already programmed into that probe, and when it came down, it just laid it out, and it just happened in basically seconds when they laid out these crop circles, and they showed me this, and I shared that with some crop circle researchers, and this was a long time ago in the very beginning, and boy, I got an earful on that one because, you know, everybody had an idea on how it was done and this and that. It was quite interesting. But then they finally caught these little light spears zipping around over the top of a crop circle, and then the whole crop circle just laying out almost instantly and then going back up, you know, into the heavens. So that kind of validated what I was shown.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a very plausible explanation of how they occur. Certainly, as you say, the orbs or light spheres have been seen in fields either just before circles have occurred or even afterwards the next day. There's a lot of activity, light activity in the areas where the crop circles are, and one of the things that I think is happening. A number of years ago, I did some research, and I mean, you said the crop circle researchers each had different opinions on what it was all about, and you know, I got a little bit fed up a few years ago. Well, it was a number of years ago. It was back in 1997. All the controversy about who does them, are they genuine, what does this one mean, and everyone had different theories about every aspect of it. So I thought, what can I actually find out about crop circles that nobody's going to argue with? And I thought, oh, well, where they occur, nobody is going to disagree that there's a crop circle in this field. Even if you didn't know who made it or what it meant, everyone agreed, yes, it was in that field. So I looked at all the crop circles that occurred in the previous 7 years and plotted them on a map, and then looked for correlation with anything, pilgrim routes, geology, sacred sites, energy currents, and the key came after... looking for a few weeks, I find that the key was underground water. The correlation I found was 94.6%, nearly 95% of every crop, of all crop circles that had occurred above an aquifer, underground water. And to put it in perspective, there's only aquifers under 40% of the landmass of Britain. But it wasn't just aquifers, it was also aquifers which were energized by earth energy currents. So those two appear to be necessary for crop circles to occur, and I think also the water needs to be of a certain depth. And so it made me realize that the crop circles are an energetic phenomenon. And I suspect, I mean, Michael Glickman, the crop circle researcher who's been studying crop circles for well over 20 years now, you know, he once said, and I think great description, that crop circles are maybe like toys which the crop circle makers are scattering on the floor of the kindergarten, and we are the children, and it's up to us. We can break them, we can ignore them, we can learn from them, we can go and play with them and have fun. It's up to us, because the circle makers are so benevolent and have our best interests at heart, that they don't force anything on us. They simply give us gentle sort of nudges and prods, but in the most joyful way. Mm-hmm. That's the way I see it.
It does seem that way. It, you know, from looking at the first crop circles, they seemed to be very simple forms, and then they kept going into more complex forms, and almost showing sacred geometry or the the science behind creation in a way. And then they actually split out into all these ancient symbols, and then they went into look like calendars now and things like that, where they're trying to give us a message.
Yes, you're right. Over the years, there's been a definite increase in the complexity, not only of the patterns, but even complexity within the lay of the circles themselves. So I think it has the last the 1980s, really, it's been an educational course which we have been offered. A lot of people have rejected it and said they're all hoaxed, rubbish. But those people who have paid attention and looked have been offered some great wisdom, I believe. As you say, things like bringing our attention to ancient spiritual wisdoms, bringing our attention to the way energy manifests in the universe, bringing our attention to the sacred sites, bringing our attention to all sorts of things which would benefit us to pay attention to and focus on as a world, as society. And I'm not a doom and gloom merchant. I'm very optimistic about the future. I think there is a spiritual awakening taking place across the planet at the moment, and it's very exciting. I'm not saying that there are, I think the old system is in its death throes, and there will be the more we try and hold on to the old system, the more painful it will be. If we can let go and embrace the new, which I see more and more people doing, then I think it's really positive future that's in front of us.
No, I agree. I think it's not optional. The Earth is evolving, and she's going to go where she needs to go. And the more we hang on to the old program, the more pain and suffering we're going to experience, and or the karmic backlash of what the old program has been doing, But I feel like you do. I feel really optimistic, but I also realize that some people, it's going to take some real hard lessons for them to actually let go of the past and let go of the old programs and the false securities they think that come with. With an unsustainable society.
Yes, quite.
But the crop circles, I think, are fascinating, the way those are laid out. And you mentioned some of the debunkers out there. I think it's hilarious where people are trying to attribute most of the crop circles to Doug and Dave, I guess, over there with the boards and the chains. And If I was informed properly, I think one of them's dead.
I think they're both dead now.
Are they
and
both
crop
dead?
Crop circles are still occurring, and
yeah.
People are still talking about Doug and Dave.
I know. Yeah, they go, that's all been disproven. Doug and Dave did it. And I go, well, one of them's been dead for a long time, and I think the other one died too. And
yeah.
And I would love to get their frequent flyer mileage, because these things are happening all around the world. I don't think Doug and Dave have been, flying around the world making these crop circles. It's not on their budget.
Right, exactly. I really try to just stay away from now the whole discussion of hoaxing, because I think it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a distraction from the true wisdom which we are being offered.
Mm-hmm. It does seem pretty obvious that, just the complexity and the amount of time it takes to make these and the perfection in some of these crop circles, you can usually tell if – and there are people out there, making their own crop circles and
yes.
trying to mimic, the other ones. But usually it's very easy to tell the ones that have been hoaxed or made by people just by the way they're made and the broken all the broken crop there and how it's not woven. It's just smashed down, and usually they aren't very geometrically well, I just, you know, they're erratic, you know, they're not perfect circles and things of that nature.
One thing I love, James, is that the mimickers, I think that's a good word, copy genuine crop formations and try and sort of perfect, you know, the techniques for, say, how it's laid down or weaving, then the genuine circle makers will throw down something we've never seen before, like the three-dimensionality of the formations or four-dimensionality, and they just take it to another level. It's almost like they're saying, okay, you tried copying that? Try this.
I've always felt that. Somebody asked me what I thought the whole reason behind crop circles were, and I just said, well, there's a lot of reasons behind them, but I think the main reason is just a greeting card, and to let people know there's more to the universe than they believe, you know, to start opening up their minds. But as you're saying too, they just throw it down and say, okay, figure this one out. And just keep pushing people further and further until eventually they just let go of that old paradigm.
Yes. Yes. That's right. If they wrote in a field and told us stuff in our language, you know, we'd still disregard that. We'd say, oh, this is hoax, you know, oh, a load of rubbish or whatever. So, you know, I think they're far too smart to do that. So they just offer us. And one of the things about the symbols, of course, is that they are powerful in themselves. We don't even need to believe in them. We don't even need to necessarily walk in them. Simply by looking at those patterns, it has an energetic impact on us. And so I believe some of the information which they encode and which they're offering to us comes through to us simply by us looking at that image. We've done this and done tests with people doing this, and we found I wouldn't say conclusively, it's probably a little strong, but we found, you know, really convincingly that people are impacted energetically by the circles, even without them understanding what the pattern meant, or even necessarily believing believing in the phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. The crop circles out there. Have you seen the latest one? They're calling the polar clock.
Yes.
What's your take on that? As far as I know, they're putting out all these different dates and what it means and things like that. And you know, I know as soon as somebody figures something out, the debunkers or the other people, whoever they are, start throwing out all this disinformation. And I'm curious what your take is on that.
What I will say is that I went to visit it. I was in it about 4 or 5 days ago, and what was very interesting was that I could pick up energy way before I got into the circle. Towards the edge of the field, there were bands of energy. There was like it seemed to me that it was almost like there was concentric rings of energy emanating out from that circle. Every three paces, as I walked down the tractor lines towards the circle, my dowsing rod was sort of getting a pulse every three paces. When I actually got inside the circle, the energy was much lower. So the energy was outside of it primarily. There was energy within it following the lay of the crop, which I normally find, but the strongest energy was outside. Now, I don't know what that means, but I just share that with you as an experience that I had.
Well, you know, I noticed with the pyramids that they actually, there's energy coming off the pyramids that they're measuring right now. And what's bizarre about it is the energy is stronger the further it gets away from the pyramid.
Yes.
And so that might be a similar technology that they're using, some kind of a scalar technology or something where the energy actually builds exponentially as it moves out from wherever its origin is. And who knows the effect these circles are having on the people around there if it keeps building like that and getting stronger.
And it's a little like the eye of a storm with a tornado. The center is quiet, but as you go out, then it gets stronger and stronger. And it's interesting you talk about it, what effect is it having further and further out, because I believe that the energy of the circles radiates out not only on the ground, but upwards and down into the earth as well. Mm-hmm. Now, if it goes down into the earth and the crop circles are sitting above underground water, that energy is going to get held within the water. That water is going to flow underground. It's going to come out as a stream, join a river, run down to the ocean. Mm-hmm. When it gets to the ocean, it's going to rise up as clouds, travel around the planet, and fall as rain, which then people drink. So everyone around the whole world are drinking the crop circle patterns.
That's an interesting thought. And, you know, we all know water, how programmable water is. Somebody was asking me about that, about water, and I just said, you know, it's the basis of life, and it's programmable, and it holds consciousness and energy. And then I was talking about how in the sweat lodges, you know, people would bring a glass of water in there, and they would pray and set their intention and ask the spirits to bless the water, and then they would give the water to the person that they're praying for. And sometimes miracle healings would happen.
Yes, I believe water is the most fantastic thing and the most precious thing we have on our planet. And as a society, we pretty much treat it as trash. You know, we dump pollution into the rivers and into the oceans, etc. And it's terrible. But we're starting to wake up to the fact that water, not only do we need it physically, we need it energetically. And it is... I've often said, you know, making a comparison between quartz crystals and computers, like I made earlier. Well, the next stage is to actually say, and water is like the internet, because it's programmable, it can hold energy, but it has fluidity, and that's the communication. So I think the water is going to be really, really crucial for working with. One thing we do is we make essences of the sacred sites. We just in the same way that people make flower essences, and so we capture the energetic quality of a sacred site on a particularly strong day. We capture that in water, and then we make a sacred site essences from that that we offer to people. So for example, if somebody, you know, can't travel to England but they really want to experience what Stonehenge is like energetically, if they get one of our vibrational essences of Stonehenge, you can sit at home in meditation, spray this into your aura or your room, and experience the energy without actually having to travel there.
That sounds fantastic. I'm curious as to deciphering that. I don't know if anybody's really deciphered that, the polar clock one. It seems to be pointing out a specific date, and one woman was saying it was December 21st, 2012. But then other people started working on it, and, you know, I don't know how they came to the conclusion, but they're actually saying it was August 4th, 2012.
That's right. That's right, and I've read that on the internet as well. I'm afraid I don't have any more information for you than what is written there. But I'm not somebody that really. It isn't one of my skills to interpret in this way, but I really love reading other people's views on this. So I think, you know, over the next month or two, we're going to see some great interpretations of the circles, including this polar clock one, and we'll see what happens on August 4th.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I was just pulling out my little divining rods. I just happened to have them sitting right here, and I was looking at them. I said, you know, I ought to just ask the divining rods what they're saying, and they're pointing to the August 4th date as being. I'm getting a big yes on that. That's something major. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but it might be that alignment with galactic plane that they've been talking about, or who knows, the passing of Nibiru, or some major event is going to happen in August. And we've been getting that same information that from this summer on, you know, we're going to have just incredible changes.
Yes.
But, I know there's some of the crop circles actually supposedly, according to some people, that show Nibiru coming through, you know, and or Planet X, everybody has a different name for
yes.
it. You know, there's so many different messages that people are getting out of there. But again, it seems like if you have 10 people look at it, they'll have 10 different messages.
Yeah, that's true, and rather than seeing that as a weakness, I like to see that as a strength. Mm-hmm. That it's like going to a birthday party, and everyone brings a gift, and so you've got mm-hmm. all these different gifts that you can share.
Yeah, I guess some of those gifts actually work for you, and some you just have to pass on. You know,
exactly.
Give them
exactly.
to somebody else.
Does it resonate with you? And if it doesn't resonate with you, I don't say, oh, it's wrong. I simply say, mm-hmm. okay, this one isn't for me to work with, and I'll leave it, and I'll go to mm-hmm. what does resonate with me. I'm coming more and more to the belief that there is no absolute truth. There's certainly no right and wrong. It's mm-hmm. simply what... It's up to us to sort of resonate with what is true for us, and to be in our truth, to speak our truth, to act our truth, and then I think everything follows beautifully from it.
Yeah. Have you run into my friend Robbie Williams out there?
Who? Sorry.
Robbie Williams. You know, the pop singer.
Oh.
There?
I live in the same village as him.
I had a feeling you were pretty close to him. Something was telling me that year.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually haven't run into him yet. He doesn't I think he spends a lot of time in the east coast west coast of the US. Apparently he has been in the pub a few times, and I keep going to the pub in the hope that I might bump into him.
Yeah. Yeah, just tell me you're a friend of the East Eddy Ranch, James Gilland over here, and he'll probably let you in the door.
Okay, okay.
Tell me you want to check out the ley lines on his property. He'd probably love to have you. Read what's going on there on his land.
Yes.
They had a blast here. They came here and then they turned around and they came back again here and started writing music I don't know if they used any of it, but we have a big drum here. It's a big mother drum, and so they were using that and some flute music and stuff in the background. But it'd be interesting to see if that ever comes up somewhere. But
yeah,
pops up. But yeah, we've had all kinds of people come here, and you know, I don't watch TV, so I don't know who's who. And we have famous soap stars and people like that come up here sometimes, and we just treat them like everybody else. We said, well, you know, we all put our pants on one leg at a time here,
and
we don't watch TV, so you know, there's no bennies, you know, in that. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, we're intending coming over to the West Coast probably next winter time, so we'll have to come look you up.
Oh, definitely. It's fun here because there are so many things going on. People come here and they see all the nature spirits cruising around, and then they'll see masters, you know, and get photographs of all kinds of paranormal things. And then at night we just light a nice little campfire and sit out and wait for the ships to come over and buzz us and power up. And we call it dazzle duty. They come down and do a little dazzle duty so people can see them. But it's a wonderful place. I have a hard time leaving here, but there's sometimes I do need to just get out of here because there's so many energy lines looking for me, you know.
Right. Yes.
So many people connected, you know, to the ranch, and every once in a while I just have to get off the property and get up in the mountains and go fishing or something.
Yes.
But the it's quite phenomenal, this whole unfoldment, what's happening on so many levels. And especially like the dowsing of these sacred places and what they're saying. I think, you know, like you were saying, I think we could probably get, you know, 10 people's views on what's happening, and maybe using a divining rods or a pendulum or something, and just start asking which one of these is feels right to me. You know, which one is this, one of these are useful to me, and then go from there.
Yes, that's right. I mean, that dowsing is a great tool, which you know, is available to us all, whether you use a pendulum or a rod or your own body. You don't even need a tool. Often when I walk to a sacred site or into a crop circle, I feel the energy in my body. And I'm sure that's exactly what our ancestors felt, who were far more tuned in and didn't have the environmental pollution distraction we do. And they would have just felt these sacred places and said, okay, wow, this place is really powerful. This is where I want to do my initiation or rite of passage or, you know, hand fasting, whatever may be. This is where this would be a good place to lay the bones of our the ones who, our relatives who die, for example. You know, I think they're very much tuned into the energy of the land.
Oh yeah, definitely. It seems like we have lost that. We were talking about that earlier, about how our connection with nature and the land, especially in cities, has been so diminished that we don't even know what the weather is, basically, you know, a lot of times.
Yes.
Because we're in a little cubicle and we go into a subway, you know, and then from the subway we go back to another cubicle
yeah,
you know, some of them don't even have windows, basically, but you know, you're just enmeshed in steel and concrete and psychic turbulence of those packed into those cubicles. It's a very sad way of living, but I guess some people do okay with it.
Yeah, that's right. I live in the country. Whenever I go into a city, I can enjoy city life for a short period, but I really, what I notice when I come back to the countryside is how nurturing the green is.
Mm-hmm.
Just having that vibration of light coming into you from nature is so healing. And of course, green along with pink is a heart color. And so it's really healing and nurturing. Makes us feel great just looking at green. I'm talking with you now. I'm looking out of the window here over beautiful green gardens and the trees. And it's so beautiful and so healing.
Yeah, I have trees surrounding me. I'm actually in a tower right now. Looking out right at the base of Mount Adams, looking at a big snow-capped mountain, and surrounded by trees and a big river on my eastern border, the White Salmon River. And so it's a real pristine environment too. And you know, I'm really grateful for this manifestation. And also too, you know, I did my time in the city, so I know what that's all about. And whenever I go into town and have to go to the city, I come back and it is. It's you feel tired and listless and heavy, and as soon as you get back on the land or back in nature and clear the energy, it's all of a sudden it's right back to normal again.
Yes, I don't know whether this is happening in the States, but in England, more and more people now are growing their own vegetables in their own backyard or back garden, and I think it's really great and heartening to see that. People really, it's without even necessarily thinking it, they are realizing that the disconnect they've felt from nature and from the source of their food hasn't satisfied, given them satisfaction. They want to be getting back in touch with Mother Earth and with the source of from that sustains us. I think it's very heartening.
Yeah, it's nothing like getting down on all fours and getting grounded and your hands and feet on the earth. And I tell people, you know, weed your garden, weed your mind. You know, it gives you a chance to weed out, you know, all those unseen negative influences and thoughts and things like that that are cruising around. You know, we're coming up to the end of the hour here, so we'll probably have to be signing off. But what's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they want to go on one of your tours or get more information?
If they go to our website, journeyswithsoul.com, the tours are listed there, and there's an email address so that people can, and a telephone number, people can contact us directly.
Great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and thanks for sharing your insights on these sacred sites, and you know, we'll have to get you back on again.
It's been a pleasure, James. Thank you.
All right. Well, have a great day over there.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.